Good morning. Carl Jung is someone who I really admire as a thinker, as a psychologist, with tremendous insight into the human venture, into the human mind, and the way we discover and find meaning in our lives. Carl Jung is someone that I encountered many, many years ago in school when I was studying psychology, and has had a great, great influence on me. And I want to share a quote with you from Carl Jung as perhaps a lens to look at this reading, the gospel reading that we've just shared from Luke's gospel. This is the quote. I'm going to read it a couple of times so you can grasp it. It's not long. Carl Jung says, "One cannot live the afternoon of life according to the program of life's morning. For what was great in the morning will be of little importance in the evening." I'll read that one more time. "One cannot live the afternoon of life according to the program of life's morning. For what was great in the morning will be of little importance in the evening." Let's hold on to that quote. Carl Jung was someone who, part of his thinking and teaching was that, you know, as we enter into this world, we are formed and we are shaped by those around us, usually those folks responsible for our upbringing, our family, our parents, and they shape and they form us. But for Carl Jung, his belief was that in midlife, wherever we determine that to be, we're invited to a new phase in our lives, a new phase of meaning, a new phase of discovery. And for his teaching, to be a whole person, we need to be drawn into that second phase. And how many folks decide to live in the first and stay there? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there's so much richness that we are not really exposed to. Richard Rohr speaks also of these two stages of life in his book, which I highly recommend, which he calls Falling Upward. It's about that idea that in our early life, as Jung says, we are shaped and formed. We gain our identity, a sense of who we are, and a sense of that self that we kind of present to the world. You identify with that? It's the sense we develop that we present to the world. And it's shaped and formed, and it's a necessary stage. It's a necessary stage. Richard Rohr calls it the stage of the loyal soldier. Interesting phrase, the loyal soldier. We learn to be loyal. We learn to be obedient. We learn from those around us. And a lot of that learning is learned through don'ts. Not just don'ts, but a lot of don'ts. Things like, don't touch the stove. You're going to burn yourself. Don't cross that road without me. Hold my hand. Hold my hand. Don't do that again. Don't ever let me see you do that again. A little strong, but you recognize any? Maybe you could share some of your don'ts as you were bringing forward. And we form ourselves, and that's the self, and we value what these folks have given us to shape us and form us. It's a necessary stage. We need to be formed and shaped. We need that as children in our culture and our society. But Richard Rohr and Jung will say that, but there's another stage, another phase to our lives that we're called to live into. And that's where Richard Rohr calls it falling upward. What is it that pushes us into that stage? A few ideas. Regarding the story of the prodigal son that we just read, I would suggest to you that the older son is that loyal soldier. The prodigal son is that first stage of life. Obedient, doing what you're supposed to do. He was obeying his father. He did everything his father asked him to do. But that second stage of life, that second phase, how do we get to that? What gets us there? I mean, there's many ways, but I would suggest a few. Suffering. Disappointment. Broken relationship. Illness. Sickness. Things that kind of make us vulnerable. Things that create little chinks in the armor. All of a sudden, this identity that I've presented to the world, all of a sudden, it's changing a bit. Something's happening. And we're invited into a deeper experience of life. Formed and shaped in the morning, but thrust into the afternoon with a new experience and an ability to shape who we're called to be. For Richard Rohr and for Carl Jung, that second stage, that second phase of life is a call to something deeper, a call to a deeper meaning. And I would suggest to you that that's the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. It's interesting, it's called the story of the prodigal son. There's three characters in this story. But that younger son, he goes forth into the world. He says to his father, give me what's mine. And he goes forth and he spends it all. He loses it all. And the story, it's so powerful. You know, he's out there and Jesus knows who he's talking to. He's out taking care of pigs. And he says, I'd be willing to even eat the food that I'm feeding to the pigs. And remember, for the Jewish folks, pigs are untouchable. He's crossing a lot of barriers, a lot of boundaries. He's reached such a low. And he comes back, he realizes he comes back to his father. And there's been some wonderful paintings done of this scene. I think it's one of the most powerful scenes, if you can picture in the scriptures, this wonderful parable, this wonderful story that Jesus tells. It says that the father sees the son returning, and what does he do? He doesn't stand there. So, you disobeyed me. You didn't do what I told you to do. You didn't listen to me. That's not the image, because obviously the Father is for Jesus, the Father is God. And how does Jesus tell this story? The Father runs down the roadway, powerful image, embraces his son, welcomes him home, forgives him everything. They're reconciled. He calls for a festival. He calls for a feast. Kill the fatted calf. This son of mine was lost and has returned. He was dead and he's alive. Celebrate that. That's the image that Jesus is giving in this story of who God is. This reconciling, forgiving, grace-filled God who reaches out to us. And yet the older son kind of says, well, what about me? I did everything you told me to do. I was the loyal soldier. I've been obedient. I've been loyal. But what's missing? His heart. We can do the right things, but we're called to something deeper through the gospel. In many ways, what we began this service with this morning were the Ten Commandments. Those Ten Commandments are in many ways the morning of our life, the beginning of our life, the first stage of our life. They are the things, don't do that, don't do that. And we need that. That's how God shaped the chosen people. But Jesus comes and calls us to something even deeper. Jesus calls us not just to do or don't do, but Jesus calls us to live from our heart, to live from our experience, and see the world in a whole new way, and recognize our vulnerability, recognize the times we fail, recognize the brokenness and the illness and the suffering of our lives, but to see that as a call into newness of life. You know, one way of entering into this journey is, there are many ways, but one is through spiritual direction. We have Carolyn Edge coming here this morning for our adult ed to do a class on spiritual direction. Spiritual direction is basically meeting with another fellow person on the journey and sharing one's story and getting together and doing that. That's a ministry that I'm involved in here at St. Paul's. I meet with some folks for spiritual direction. There's some clergy in our diocese who get together with me for spiritual direction, and we just sit and talk about the journey. It's one way of beginning that process of moving into that afternoon of our lives. So often people will come to me and say, you know, George, I don't think I believe in God anymore. I think I'm an atheist. What they're really talking about is they're moving from the morning to the afternoon. They're letting go of perhaps an image of God they had or understanding of God they had, but perhaps experiencing a whole new possibility that sometimes is scary. But I believe it's oftentimes movement into something new, a new and deeper possibility of understanding who God is and who we are. So as we journey, continue to journey through this season of Lent, I invite you to that. Invite you to the afternoon. Invite you to continue to deepen that understanding of who God is. Give thanks for the morning. Give thanks for those who shaped us. Give thanks for those who gave us an identity. But also give thanks to God for those moments in our lives that have called us to something new that may have been painful, may have been difficult, but they're gifts from God as well because they call us to something new. As Carl Jung says, one cannot live the afternoon of life according to the program of life's morning. For what was great in the morning will be of little importance in the evening. But what is offered in the evening is a deeper understanding and meaning of who we are and who God is in our lives.